We've often talked about school breakfast and lunch programs, along with the important roles that they serve. But did you know that meal programs for students in New Jersey don't end after the final bell? Need for proper nutrition and economic family challenges making it difficult to achieve at home continue around the clock in many New Jersey households. So how is New Jersey addressing this reality on a wide basis? Here to share the results of a new study on this matter via a report from Hunger Free New Jersey is Nancy Perillo. How are you today, Nancy?
I'm doing well. How are you today, Chris?
Good to have you here to talk about something that a lot of people did not know about, maybe even a lot of schools and organizations didn't even know about.
That's
and
correct.
This report from Hunger Free New Jersey is called The State of After-School Meals in New Jersey. You can download a copy and read it at hungerfreenj.org. So obviously it's after-school meals, meaning early dinner, early supper. What's the foundation of this program? How is it structured and how is it working?
So this is a federal program that communities with a fairly high percentage of low-income children can tap into. It's a federal program that provides reimbursements for every after-school snack and supper served to children after school in after-school programs, structured programs where they may be doing enrichment activities or tutoring or activities like that. It's an amazing resource for communities because it brings federal dollars into the community, to schools, to community organizations, to local government, to feed the children in their community that need that nourishment.
If you look at the stats, March 2019, for example, over 70,000 kids in New Jersey received after-school nutrition, totaling more than 1.38 million suppers and snacks. It's a combination program of strictly suppers. Other places do suppers and a snack time as well, and this is happening through school districts, organizations, government agencies, after-school programs, whole variety, so it's a team effort. Problem is, Nancy, there's not enough teams, apparently, because as far as the goal of reaching a 15 percentile mark, New Jersey's fallen way short of that.
Yes, we are. We're only at 6% of reaching children with suppers who also eat free or reduced-priced lunch at school. You know, part of the problem is even though this program has technically been around since 2010, it is still relatively unknown to a lot of communities. A lot of schools continue to participate in the snack portion of the National School Lunch Program, where you cannot serve suppers, you can only serve snacks, and you can't serve on the weekends or holidays. So it's been a little bit of a challenge to get them to move from what has traditionally been the way they serve snacks to moving into this new, relatively new program to be able to serve suppers to kids too. So that's kind of the battle that we're fighting, or the challenge that we face is maybe a better way to put it. And this report was designed to try and raise awareness of this program and its many, many, many benefits for children and for communities as a whole.
Much like with the school breakfast and lunch programs, there's no cost to the schools, at least in there might be an outlay for staffing, obviously, and turning the lights on, but there is a federal reimbursement that basically washes out any cost. And Nancy mentioned, too, that at 6%, if New Jersey did reach the called-for goal, they would get an additional almost $20 million in federal funds.
That's right. That's right. And this program has very generous reimbursements, so actually, community organizations, local government, and school districts that participate, especially school districts, that money can help shore up other aspects of their meal service, like summer meals. It can help improve the quality of the meals because the reimbursements are really very generous. And remember, a lot of these are programs that are already running, so it is not an additional cost to turn the lights on. They're already operating. They're just not feeding the kids supper in these after-school programs that are kind of missing this boat. So it really is kind of a no-brainer. It makes a ton of sense to move into serving suppers through this federally funded program.
Oh, Nancy Perillo about a report from Hunger Free New Jersey entitled The State of After-School Meals in New Jersey. You can download and read a copy and see the stats as well for perhaps even your neck of the woods at hungerfreenj.org. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And speaking of individual areas, I mean, some communities, like I'm looking at the list here, Elizabeth, for example, 37 locations, Lakewood, 26, Newark, 63. There are some stellar examples, but when you look at Asbury Park, relatively sizable area, only two locations, Bloomfield, 1. Same for Hoboken, Hackensack. There's a lot of room for growth because there's a lot of need for this program.
Absolutely. And we do. We have some rock stars. North does an amazing job. A lot of these, there are communities out there that have really, Patterson, have really tapped into this and recognized the importance. Trenton's another one. And so we hope that others will follow their lead. It's really very doable, and it's a huge benefit for children, families, and the community as a whole.
I used the term team effort before, and that's really how a lot of these organizations, like Elizabeth, for example, they've teamed up. The schools have teamed up with community mm-hmm. organizations like YMCA mm-hmm. as a prime example, and a relatively easy connection to make because the Y, much like schools, are always looking for ways to help out there and serve the community members. And that's one example of how this program can quickly and easily be not just instituted but expanded.
Exactly. You've seen that model in Newark, Trenton, where they started with their program, and then the need is out there, and after-school programs are like, yes, we want to participate too. And before you know it, these programs are growing like wildfire. It just spreads throughout the community. And the more kids you serve, the more federal dollars you're drawing down. So they become very financially a solid program. So expansion is really key, and the community's working together for school districts. I'm going to do this, and who in the community can I bring in, or the town to do it? And the same way, any entity that steps up and becomes like kind of the premier sponsor in the community can really serve sites throughout that community, and it's relatively easily once you get kind of up and running.
Another great example is what the community food bank did. They call it uh-huh. the kids cafes, and it started just as a local operation, but then since the food bank, the Community Food Bank of New Jersey is obviously a statewide organization, again, they saw an easy way for it to expand to, I think it's 26 kids cafes now across the state.
That's correct. Yep, that's a great program, the kids cafes, you know, and they branded the program too, which is really nice. It gives it kind of, you know, it's not a handout. It's actually, you know, this is a kids cafe. Come on and eat. It's got a nice feel to it. They serve up really great food, and they work with all kinds of different organizations, everything from after-school programs at churches or faith-based organizations to, you know, schools, local government, or local recreation department after schools. I mean, and they, like other food banks in the state, are always looking to expand because their mission is to feed kids, to feed people, to fight hunger. And so they are an incredible resource for communities that want to expand and get into this program.
So with that concept of expansion, if a school district, a community organization, or both right now are people from those organizations are hearing about this, What are there prerequisites? Are there requirements that they have to meet, or is it just really just knock on the door, make the right phone call, and everything could be off and running sooner versus later?
Well, the best option, it depends on what they want to do. If they want to become a sponsor or site, there's much higher requirements for sponsors. They need to have certain fiscal levels, and they need to be able to meet administrative duties. Sites, it's much, much easier. They just need to hook up with a local sponsor. So the best bet for folks that are interested in learning more about this is to contact the New Jersey Department of Agriculture. They administer the program on the state level, and they can help guide you as far as whether a sponsor or a site is a better way to go, and who in the community may already be doing it, and that type of a thing. You can also look on hungerfreenj.org on our list of sponsors to look in the report to see if there is a sponsor in your community. But the Department of Agriculture can be reached at 609-292-8896. And they're the source to really help guide an organization toward our participation in this program.
It's one of those great examples where a relatively easy effort can make a huge difference in the nutrition. And we've talked about before with the school breakfast and lunch programs, how nutrition is the fuel that puts the minds and the students' school performance that much more to a level of excellence that is needed as well for the future. This is one of those multi-beneficial ideas that, again, a couple of calls, a couple of ideas, a couple of head nods, a team effort. It could be launched, expanded so quickly, you'd be amazed by it. Learn more at hungerfreenj.org. The report again, the state of after-school meals in New Jersey. Nancy Perrell, thanks for the insight into this great idea and program. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Chris.